here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, but please hold your calls until we ask for them, because we're going to be discussing today a very important war, and, of course, what the outcome of that war was because of a group of people in a place in Middle Texas. And right now, just I want to discuss a little bit on wars. Wars are terrible things. The First World War changed the world forever, with a revolution in Austria-Hungary and Germany and the Ottoman Empire and Russia. None of those countries were ever the same. Their empires were lost. And even England, which supposedly was on the winning side, began to move away from freedom towards socialism, as did Italy as a result of the First World War. And the Second World War had a devastating effect on the world, 55 to 60 million people killed. The world really changed forever, as now we had the United Nations formed. We had ever more power given unto government. Korea gave us a feeling of hopelessness, as if you couldn't win wars anymore. Vietnam was a no-win war. Gave us Medicare and the social welfare state and changed America forevermore. And as we focused our attention on what was happening in East Asia, why we lost our freedom here at home. But there's been another war that's been fought, and it's been going on for 20 years. Most people don't even think about it. It's the war in the Sudan, and this has been a terrible and bloody war, and it's devastated both the Muslim North and the Christian South. But something has actually happened that's changed that, and we're going to be talking today to George Neumauer, and he has written a fascinating article for the American Spectator magazine. George, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you happened to write this story about Texas and the impact this town in Texas had on a battle that had gone on for 20 years?
Well, I heard about it through human rights activists in Washington, D.C. Our offices are in the Washington, D.C. area. And they said that a small group in Midland, Texas, which is the hometown of George Bush, this group had been playing a behind-the-scenes role in the Sudanese peace talks. So that piqued my interest. It sounded like an intriguing story. And so I went down to Texas, and I met with members of this group. And I discovered that, in fact, this group has been playing a behind-the-scenes role in the Sudanese peace talks. They've been talking, in fact, directly to the government of Sudan, meeting with the Sudanese ambassador in Washington, D.C., and sending letters to his superiors in Khartoum. And they've also been talking to the Christian rebels. They've been talking to John Garang, who's the head of the Christian rebels. In fact, John Garang was in Midland, Texas about three weeks ago, meeting with this group. Along with several other Christian groups in America, the Midland Ministerial Alliance has been increasing the White House's interest in this issue and thereby increased the likelihood of peace in that country, because George Bush has been making peace in the Sudan a priority, which is manifest in the fact that he sent John Danforth, the former governor of Missouri, to the Sudan earlier this week to finalize the peace accord there. Because of that, this 20-year war might come to an end.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with George, and I think you'll find this a fascinating and rather heartening story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is George Neumauer, and we're going to be talking about the ministers in Midland, Texas. And, you know, it's the most amazing story. Talk about a bluff. Here is a group of ministers in this out of the general focus of things, place in Texas, right in the middle of the sort of the flatlands of Texas, who wrote a letter to the government of the Sudan, and in essence they said, if you don't get this situation straightened out over there in the Sudan, we're going to go to our most famous person who's lived in Midland, Texas, and his name is George Bush, and if you don't get this straightened out, we're going to go to the President of the United States. So why did you pick up the story from there, George? Because we now have a new group of people listening who didn't hear your preliminary remarks. Go right ahead. If you happen to be repetitive, go right ahead.
That's right. In March of 2003, the Midland Ministerial Alliance wrote a letter to the government of Sudan saying that they would put political pressure on their friends at the White House in Washington, D.C. to monitor peace negotiations in the Sudan and take steps to enforce those negotiations unless, you know, the government there really worked towards creating a just peace with the Christians in southern Sudan. And that letter, which had on its letterhead Midland, Texas, the hometown of George Bush, really got the attention of the Islamic government in Khartoum. And I know this for a fact because the ambassador, the Sudanese ambassador in Washington, D.C., told me that Sudan's foreign minister urged him to talk with, as he put it, people from George Bush's village.
And so they did, and they contacted the people of the. And this is a ministerial alliance. This is an alliance of the Catholic minister, Catholic priests, and of the Protestant ministers who got together and said, "We're going to do something. Over 2 million people are dead, and nobody's doing anything." And so they really have had an impact on the negotiations that have been taking place in Kenya over this last, 6 months or a year?
They've been, I know for a fact that they have been in communication with the Kenyan peace negotiator. In fact, they've been in communication with all of the parties to the negotiations. They've, not only the government in Khartoum, but also the John Garang, who's the head of the Christian rebel group called the Sudan People Liberation Army. John Garang was in Midland, Texas about 3 weeks, meeting with this group. They've also been in contact with the State Department officials who've been going over to the Sudan.
Hold that thought for just a moment, please, George.
Okay.
All right. Our guest today is George Neumauer, and we're talking about the negotiations that are taking place to end the war in the Sudan. Now, this war has been going on since 1983. At least 2 million people killed, predominantly Christians and animists living in the south. But this has devastated the economy of the entire nation, and certainly the economy of the north is extremely poor. They're dependent now upon oil. But of course the oil flow keeps getting disrupted because of the war in the south. But the most exciting things have already happened in this last few weeks. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the peace negotiations and what at least so far has been the result of those negotiations, which the ministers from Midland, Texas at least have played a casual role?
Well, one major breakthrough happened last week when the Islamic government and the southern rebels reached a wealth-sharing agreement. They agreed to split oil revenues 50-50. And so this wealth-sharing agreement over oil is seen as a major step towards finalizing the peace agreement between the North and the South. There's also been some progress made on power sharing. There's been an agreement that the new government in Khartoum after the peace accord would include as vice president John Garang, the head of the Christian rebels, and there'd also be substantial representation for southern Sudanese leaders in the parliament in Khartoum.
And, of course, you could do several things. You could divide the country into two parts. The trouble was that the Christians get all the oil in the south, and the northerners would never accept that. Or you could, of course, let the northerners dominate it and then, of course, continue killing the people in the south. But they appear to have come to really what would be a very justifiable, solution to the problem. And this, I think, is one of the biggest pieces of news. We just haven't been hearing very much about it here in the United States, though. Have you heard this elsewhere other than your own private research?
No, the reporting on all this is very limited. You can find stories, but you really have to watch the international news wires pretty carefully. The mainstream media in this country has generally ignored the issue of Sudan.
Well, now, how is it that the people there, the ministerial alliance in Midland, Texas, really got involved in this? Didn't they have a number of the churches there, had sister churches in the southern Sudan, and so their attention was really focused on this part of the world, this tragic part of the world?
That's right. There, yeah, two reasons. One is, as you say, Midland churches have sister churches in southern Sudan. And the second reason is that 2 years ago, Midland was the host city for the International Day for the Persecuted Church. And an event was held in Midland which attracted Sudanese exiles who came and spoke to the people of Midland and described to the people of Midland the atrocities in Sudan. And this event really shocked the city into action on this issue. And Midland, being a city of scriptural Christianity, takes very seriously the gospel's call to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, and to also take into account the suffering church wherever it exists, on the theory, on the idea that if part of the church is suffering, the whole church is suffering.
And, of course, as you wrote your article about this whole issue, you went a little bit into the theology that exists there, that they seem to retain that theology of fundamental of Christianity and concern that seems to have escaped most of the rest of the country. Midland, Texas is out of the middle of nowhere, 100,000 people, almost completely separated from the rest of the country, and yet they maintain their values that the rest of us have forgotten.
That's right. They've pretty much rejected, I would say, the sort of secularized Christianity that you see in urban areas, you know, where Christian leaders have basically secularized their faith, reduced their faith to just sort of secular liberalism. That hasn't happened in Midland, Texas. It's a city that has a scriptural and fundamental doctrinal approach to Christianity, and so that accounts for their missionary outlook. They really think it's important to spread the gospel to the world, and because they believe, you know, Christianity is true and that scripture is true.
And you say that there's all sorts of signs there, like park and pray, or the devil is dead, or all sorts of, every place you look, why there's some reflection of the Christian influence in that community. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's sort of, it's Christian small town America. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.